The AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast is a series of fireside chats with business leaders in Southeast Asia focused on growth in the region. Topics discussed include business strategy, sales and marketing, enterprise technology, and innovation.
Thank you very much, Kuntot, for joining us today in this call itself. I think today, one of the main agenda we're hoping to understand from Kuntot is how CP Foods is actually innovating to stay ahead within like the competition itself. So thank you very much for joining us. Maybe if you could, I think I'm pretty sure that everyone in the audience is pretty familiar with CPF already, but I would like to invite Kuntot to give us a quick overview of your business and also about yourself, your background.
Oh, great. Thanks for the opportunities for me to share my experience and our company. So my name is CPF, or CPF is to drive the digital transformation for our business. CPF is a food manufacturer. We are integrated food manufacturing, starting from animal feed to farms. We have swine, sheep's egg. And we also have a restaurant group so the model of the business is kind of integrated from the beginning to from farm to fork. That's what we call ourselves. And we operate in 21 countries in Europe, in US, in Asia. Our company is based in Thailand, and now the business model of our company changed dramatically in the past 10 years. 10 years ago, we are a Thai company that export our product to the world. Now, about 70% of our revenue are from overseas operations. So we are becoming a more and more of a global company in that sense. So now, because the agricultural business is a kind of business, in the past, it was a quite steady business. So people eat chicken, chicken is chicken. But lately, I would say about 10 years now, the business changed quite a lot. There are more competitors from all sorts of countries. Now we are in the past we just compete with ourselves mainly, especially in animal feed. We probably the biggest one in the world now. We produce more than 30 million tons of animal feed. But now as technology catch up, production technology, lots of people can also do the same thing. Farm as well. In the past, we're quite advanced when it comes to farm management. Now, those technology become kind of commodity products, and anyone can catch up with us. So those poses the challenge to our companies on how do we move forward, how do we still create a competitive advantage. So that's why we need to do a lot of innovation projects, and this digital technology help us a lot in creating this kind of competitive advantage as well.
I actually saw your financial results announcements a few weeks back, right? So congratulations. It's actually a pretty good results, right? 40% compared to in 2020 compared to 2019. I think even for like CPF or CP, your CEO actually attributed the success to like in-house technology and also innovation in this sense. Maybe you can share a little bit more about like the investments which show quite a huge payoffs in 2020 that the team has been leading on.
Yeah, so let me share something about our business. We will be hit hard. almost constantly by major pandemics, every 3 or 4 years. 10 years ago, it was a bird flu. About 6 years ago, it was Trim disease called EMS. 3 years ago, up until now, it was African swine flu. So when the pandemic hit us, the first time with the bird flu, that's really kind of forced us to rethink about how do we operate. So we have thousands of farms. Almost 70% of them are also from our partners. So it's not only company farm. So whatever we do in our company farm is still not good enough, because we also need to ensure that our partner farm are well protected as well. So that's why we invest a lot in technology in the farm. For example, in our farm, we call it a closed farm, where there is a minimum interactions with other environment factors. We control, so if the temperature is high, the fan in the farm will automatically put a stronger wind load to the house. So this kind of automation technology allow us to maintain high qualities of both our farms, our company farm, and also partner farm. But that's probably good enough 10 years ago. But with the EMS, Trim disease called EMS, now we learn more that we have to strengthen our biosafety significantly as well. So we have to make sure that we don't let, on the contrary, contrary to our belief, most of us believe that animal bring disease to human being. Is in fact, it's the other way around. About 90%, 95%, we as a human being, we bring disease to animal. So we put in a lot of biosafety operations. We use a lot of technology to do that. For example, one of the innovation projects that we did with the swine farm is we put in a camera that with an AI. So we won't allow people to cross from the sales area to the farming areas. So once that happened, the camera will send picture to AI, right? So once the AI knows that such thing happened, it will alert to the farm managers to take action right away. So those sort of things are the new innovation that we put in. And it's worked pretty well. We know that's because when the African swine flu hit China, Vietnam, and Thailand, our farm are well protected. So we did not impact. We almost have no impact from that disease. So that's it's part of the reason why our financial performance is very well today, because we are well protected. Just to give you an idea, the demand, the supply in China reduced almost 50% at one point. And China is the biggest producer of pork in the world, right? So that's why we're in a very good position when this pandemic hits. But it seems like we are in this game all the time. So when we thought we are well prepared, the next pandemic comes and it will humble us in a sense that we will learn that, we still need to do something. For this COVID pandemics, what it tells us is that we cannot let our, because the traveling ban, I think Thailand is probably in one of the first country that need to do a traveling ban. So when that happened, our veterinarian could not go to the farms, right? And that is kind of critical, you know, to the production of the farm, to the productivity of the farm, and not only our company farm. Yeah, in fact, our company farm, we tend to have a vet somewhere, you know, nearby where we can travel. But our customer farm, and just to give you an idea of where the farm located, most of the farm will locate at least 2 hours from the nearest city, right? Because that's the nature of the farm. Right. So with the travel ban, we were lucky enough, I would say, that the Thai government handled this pandemic well, with all the doctors and Thai communities also helped significantly. During the pandemic period, we deliver, I think, more than 100,000 of meals to those family who volunteer to do self quarantine, right, during that period, and that's why, you know, we can shorten the traveling restriction to a month, a little over a month. So, internally we talk about the worst case scenario. What happened if it lasts 2 or 3 months, like in Europe, our farm will hit significantly. The productivity of a farm will be hit hard with that. So that's why we need to come. Our CEO asks me and our team to put in a new platform. Yeah. To actually put our offline services. Yeah. We have a lot of online services already, buying services. You know, our customer can buy animal feed online. We can even do some analytics of their farm management online. But there's something that we still work offline, like our service of our veterinarians. We also even have a service to help our customer look at the construction of the farm, or the vaccine. So now we're in the process of putting all this offline into online, right? So that we can serve our customer better, even though there's a next, any pandemic will happen in the future. So we hope we'll be better protected by that. So for example, we're going to put in we create a knowledge base of our veterinarian, and we use a chatbot to answer 80% or 90% of the questions from our customer or from farm managers online with that. And another 10% of question will be redirect to our vet. And so the veterinarian is like a doctor, right? In order to do any analysis, you need to have X-ray or any test from the lab. So we have to do that as well. So how do we do that? We need to put in sensor, sound sensor, photo sensor, to collect all those data from the farm. And we have to put into the mobile of the farm managers, who probably 500 kilometers from our vet or our veterinarian, to send all those data so that we can do analysis online and give them a proper services online. So those are the next challenge to us. How do we package everything and to be into a platform where we can help our customer access to all of our resources.
This will stem out like a few different questions, right? The first thing you're talking about is more about like new business model. How are you like leveraging on the current like different channels you have, and then you package it into a one-stop kind of solution to sustain in the future. However, I think when you look into like a new project like that, you must have some sort of like, justification or ROI kind of metrics evaluation from your previous investment that give you a good gauge on how much you're willing to spend to test out a different model. I'm not sure whether you have experience in this in terms of like finding it difficult to justify, or this is something that is very common in terms of driving innovation for the group.
In fact, for CPF, we are very customer oriented. Yeah. So when we want to engage into this project, you know, with the idea of serving our customer better, yeah, I get a green light right away.
Yeah. Okay.
So we have a concept of we can do pilot, right? And with the right idea, I will get funded, yeah, for that kind of pilot. So once the pilot proves, then we talk about ROI later, before we start to roll out. So for example, if this project going well with, you know, some certain area of the farm that we select as a pilot site, so when it's work well, yeah, then I come back and talk about ROI. Yeah, which by that time, you know, with the pilot, with the real example, you know, we have a time to we have a time lessened real example of what really happened to adjust our model. Yeah. So most of the time, getting approved is not a problem, not a big problem. So I think that's one of the strength in our cultures. You know, we let people innovate. They can easily get funded as long as they mention something about, you know, improving customer life.
Okay. So customer life is the key for CP Foods. Whenever you do any digital transformation, it's perfect for your role, right? Every time you need to do something, it's all about customers. And I think it's pretty aligned with earlier on what we discussed. For CPF, right? I think the contribution of like overseas revenue to like CPF is also pretty big, right? Mainly right now it's hovering around 70%. I think from your perspective, you manage like you come from a logistics background, you manage like the supply chain. I'm not sure domestically and whether it covers like the rest of the world as well. How is the team looking to handle like the current technology, transforming the technology in terms of like the business process and also the supply chain process domestically and also like across the group?
Yeah, so what we do in terms of the business process is we use Thailand as a base, right? And we also use Thailand as a model productions, a model for the farms.
For CPF, right? I think the contribution of like overseas revenue to like CPF is also pretty big, right? Mainly right now it's hovering around 70%. I think from your perspective, you manage like you come from a logistics background, you manage like the supply chain. I'm not sure domestically and whether it covers like the rest of the world as well. How is the team looking to handle like the current technology, transforming the technology in terms of like the business process and also the supply chain process domestically and also like across the group?
Yeah, so what we do in terms of the business process is we use Thailand as a base, right? And we also use Thailand as a model productions, a model for the farms. And for each of the business unit, for example, our chicken, we will have a pilot farm, or let's call it a model farm and a model factories, you know, where we will, you know, invite all the service provider who have interested solution, yeah, comes in and play with our that way. Yeah. We also focus on building our own technologies, competency in a couple of areas as well. For example, robotic is one, IoT is one. And the reason is because it's quite easy to find a technology or a new solution for a cow, probably because the cow as itself, you know, it's quite big in terms of, you know, size and also dollars. But chicken, you know, one chicken, it's probably a buck for a chicken, right? So not many people are willing to invest in that. Yeah. So that's why we invest in that area, you know, by ourselves to actually produce. We have probably thousands of patients and IP, you know, in robotic and IoT area by ourselves. And we think that is the key to competitive advantage for us. And once we do this in our model farm and factory, then we roll out to all other countries that we have. Yeah. And at the same time, we also have a symposium. You know, every year we organize this, you know, where we can learn something from Russia. To raise the pig in Thailand with 40 degrees Celsius, it's totally different with Russia, where you can have minus 40 degrees Celsius. Right. So that's something that we can learn from each other. Yeah. So innovation, it's part of the operation, but I would say it's actually more or less like a part of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we encourage people to do that.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm curious because I think CP Group, not long ago, you acquired like Tesco. I'm not sure whether this actually affects like CP Foods kind of like integration with them from a digital perspective, right? What are the things that you look at when you need to integrate two kind of business together along the supply chain? Is this part of like the domain that you're working on?
It's not directly under my domain I'm working on. And CPF is a listed company, you know, in Stock Exchange of Thailand. And we also treat our customer the same way. Yeah? Either it's Central Retail Group or Lotus. You know? I think the differences, the changes after the M&A is that we can engage them on a couple of areas where in the past it's quite challenged to get some of the data. They're willing to open to us more in terms of there's some certain area in terms of logistics where they don't have enough network to deliver the products. Yeah, we can help them in some of those areas, you know, so we can do that. And the funny thing is once we start to do that with Lotus, you know, we also do the same thing with Central Retail Group. And actually we work with Central Retail Group even before Lotus.
Yes.
So I'm not sure whether it's, you know, the M&A actually help us or help them.
Yes. Move things so faster. In a way you did it first with Lotus and then you replicate the model with Central Retail and
As I mentioned, food is considered as a national security in all countries. So all the retail and the supermarket and the food producer, you know, we need to ensure that we can deliver products. Yeah. In some certain case, you know, when, for example, I think about 3 years ago, two or 3 years ago, when there is a flood in southern of Thailand, a retailer like 7-Eleven even helped carrying product of their competitors just to make sure that people in the southern of Thailand, in some certain area where all 7-Eleven shops are closed, they deliver to other retailers. They allow other retailers to use that network to deliver the products. So those kind of co-competition, I guess, how you call it, in just to make sure that we can deliver the food.
I know, Khun Todd, you've been joining us for a couple of sessions with regards to supply chain optimization, right? And for AIBP, when we ran a survey recently, checking with manufacturing companies on the kind of challenges that they are facing, we found that like the two key focus that they see, especially since like COVID-19 has started, was the changes in buyers' consumption, the behavior and patterns of their purchasing. And the second most important challenge that they see is also the lack of visibility on inventory across different networks. So I'm wondering, for CPF or within your current capacity, do you see similar kind of challenges that you face?
We have quite good visibilities of inventory, so we don't have a lot of problem with that. With the changes in consumer behavior, yes, we see that. We see the changes, the switching of channel from food services to retail and online. Yeah, that's the biggest trend. Even though we sell the food, right? The output of our production is still pretty much the same. Yeah, or slightly higher. I think it's about 10% higher than last year. But the channel that we deliver is totally different because during the COVID, most of the food service, the hotel, the restaurant, they have the challenges in that business. So they switch over to a new channels like retails and online. So we need to deal with that. We need to deal with a smaller package because those tend to have a smaller package. We need to adjust our network to accompany that. But apart from that, I think because our core supply chain, which is the production side of it or the supply side of it, we manage it quite well. So that's why we don't have a lot of impact from the switch over. But I know that some of my colleagues, from other industry, they were hit hard by the changing of the channel.
And I guess because customer is number one in CPF, right? So like nowadays you have like different kind of ordering kind of platform. People order via different channels. Last time maybe they just go to the supermarket, they just pick it off the shelf, right? But now I think a lot of things go online, and then there's like multi-channel, multi-tool, yeah, multi-communication kind of area. So it seems like most of the things that you have invested early on are paying off right now. But in forward, on top of customers, if let's say I were to ask you to choose two objectives in your next investment, right? One is cost reduction, one is revenue growth. Which would be more important?
Unfortunately, I have to do both. for example, I think one of the threat in our industry is not only cost reduction, but the threat to our industry is that as our GDP per capita is getting more and more, people start to move from manufacturing sector to service sector. So we will have a lot of more challenge in terms of getting workforce. And in order to survive, not just only do the cost cutting here, but just to survive, we need to focus more on automations. So that's why we have our own robotic lab, IoT lab, and all sort of this technology. Yeah, just to make sure that we can still produce the food, with a lot less workforce that willing to join. And another challenge that we work on is, as I explained earlier about the animal feed, we need to change the model from just selling the feed and have a professional services to accompany with it. Yeah. Our customers seem to share like the younger generation or the second generation. You know, the first generation, they like to have a veterinarian to go and visit them and have coffee with them, chat with them for an hour on, you know, everything. But with the younger generation, they seem to work online, right? They want all the services to be online, easy access. You know, and this demand will highlight during the COVID period. So that's why we need to change our revenue model from just doing a selling of physical products. Yeah. So we need to think about creating a platform, you know, with the physical products and services, yeah, and let our customer have, you know, access that online, yeah, in order to make sure that we can still having a good business growth into the future, you know.
And that will be like the main project that you're working on moving forward, creating the platform and also the smart operation technology lab that you...
Yeah. Those are the top two. And also another one, which is because the younger generation of our employee, they were spoiled by Netflix and YouTube, I guess. So when they go and when they expect kind of online training, they expect the experience like YouTube and Netflix. Yeah. So that's something that our HR need to adapt with that. And we're also shopping online. So most of the buyer, most of the user, they expect procurement services to provide something with the same experience as they have with Shopee or Lazada. Yeah. So those are the challenges that we need to, you know, refine our employee workbench so that they can be more productive. Yeah. Right. And with a different level of expectation from in the past.
Understand. So it will be more of like a future of work, employee experience, all the way to customers. Yeah. How do you give them an omni kind of environment in their retail experience?
Yeah, and I think those are the top three things that we're focusing on. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you very much, Khun Todd, for sharing all this with us. I wonder whether you have any last words or key takeaways that you find personally over the past 1 or 2 years in your current role.
Yes, I think we... For this COVID, during this COVID crisis, lots of our employees are willing to sacrifice in many ways. Yeah. Our, you know, after the traveling ban was lifted, our vegetarian go to, you know, jump onto their car and drive to, you know, visit all the customer, never go back home for over a month. Most of them, we have hundreds of them, and all hundreds of them didn't go back home for a month just to make sure that they visit all these farms. Yeah, just that's one example. We have volunteer delivery men and women to deliver products to those who are willing to do self quarantine, you know, all over the place. I think what we do well is we take care of our employees well. Yeah. Even those during those COVID period, yeah, we take care in, you know, every which way. Yeah. Our CEO say our employee need to feel comfortable at work. You know, they need to feel that they were safe at work, even more than when they're at home. So, you know, the workers in the factory, you know, all the staff in the office, they have to feel comfortable, very comfortable, you know, with this place there. And I guess that worked well. And that's the lesson that I learned, that with this kind of crisis, make sure you take care of your employee well, and you get 100 times in return.
You're almost making me want to quit my job and work for CP Group or work for Khun Todd already.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for joining us in this session. I think if there are more information, we'll connect you with like Khun Todd in our next future sessions as well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. For more information about business growth in the ASEAN region, please visit our website, www.iotbusiness-platform.com.